Hello, friends, and welcome. Welcome back to part five of Discipleship in the New Age, Volume One, Section One, part five, and video commentary. We are on page 43. And I just want to say one of these sentences from Master DK, which really, from the time I read it long ago, has made a very strong impression upon me. And that is, as part of a segue here, in this type of group work, the feelings, reactions, wishes, and successes of the individual most emphatically do not count. Now that's really a surprising statement in a way. And let us say it will challenge the expectations of those who were drawn into this work if they don't fully understand its nature. And then he goes on to say, only that is regarded as of importance, which will further group effort and enrich the group consciousness. So if we were to ponder for just a moment our group life, and I suppose many of us are members of various kinds of groups, some of which study Master DK. Is that our attitude? Do we realize that we're not in it for ourselves? We are in it for group advancement and to increase the group consciousness and the consciousness so that the group can truly serve in the externalization process. That's why we're there. Let me say, we do have to come to that realization. And it may not be an easy realization for all. It seems natural enough that we hope to get something out of the group experience, something of an individual nature. Well, probably we will. But that's not the main point, really. We're not there for that purpose. Now we can go on to part five. And today is August 3rd, as I said, part five. Okay, and this is program 21. And the master says, the hierarchy sanctioned, noting that means approved of, okay? So the hierarchy sanctioned the starting of these groups in the year 1931. And may I say that if we look back upon the letters that went out, there are a number of them from 1931. But may I say that it was the great conclave of 1925 with its movement of a number of ashrams onto the Buddhic plane, which really started the possibility of the whole process and paved the way, shall we say, for DK to begin his experiment. And we can also think that since his work was not the only work of this type, that other masters, maybe not, you know, writing letters in the same way and so forth, also in the very early 30s could begin their work along this experimental line as well. Now, going on with Master DK, the members of these groups have been slowly chosen since then. And may I say, probably with plenty of study of them by the master to judge of their suitability. And then I suppose he would communicate that to Alice Bailey, who would write them a letter of invitation. And they would fill out some kind of application which had certain questions on it and would further reveal their suitability. So repeating here what DK has said, the members of these groups have been slowly chosen, carefully chosen, right, since then, and are endeavoring, since their inclusion in this ashramic work, and let us note that it is his ashram at that time, and not the ashram of Master K.H. per se, or of any other master that may be working with groups. We're talking about his effort. So they are endeavoring, he says, since their inclusion in this ashramic work, to work together in complete unity of purpose and of relationship. At least, shall we say, that is or was the ideal, and naturally will be the ideal when the C group work is continued. And I suspect that it will be continued. He said it's a rather lengthy process, and we're not even yet really halfway into it. So Master DK goes on, it may be of interest to you to know a little of how we approach the subject. I guess it would be, because, you know, in a way, first, he's writing to those who are part of the process, talks to disciples. This whole first section of Dina, Volume 1, is called. Of course, it then would have general interest, because it would be distributed to many and to be used as a magnetic point to attract worthy people towards the ashram. So, okay. Let's assume it is of interest. The whole book, shall we say, is of profound interest to those who are really taking their discipleship seriously. I remember when I first discovered that this kind of training exists, I was sitting on a bench at a beach in Maine, the state of Maine, and it was about 50 years ago, maybe a tiny bit less, 49 something. And I had been looking through one of the books, and then I saw at some point in the book discipleship training offered. And I was really, I think I could say, shocked, because I didn't realize that training in the kinds of things that the book was treating could be given. And I thought immediately, maybe picking up an old thread, that I have to be a part of that. It was a impulsive or impelling, maybe that's a better word. It was an impelling moment, which opened up a kind of destiny which has been unfolded. I guess all of us have moments. I'm reminded of a very avid student of Master DK's work who noticed them for the first time, the books, not in paperback version, but in the beautiful, solid, hardback imprinted with golden letters, and just something happened at that moment, and she just said, I'll take them all. And that, no doubt, was for her an impelling moment. Maybe we can all find the moment that put us really in touch with the Master DK stream of instruction. That is, of course, if it's important enough to us, and if we have been staying with it, so to speak, You know, I say to myself, well, how could anyone not stay with it? But then I do realize it comes to me in a moment of reality, well, not everybody is attracted in that way. Not everybody is even ready to follow the kind of instruction that he has given. And people have other paths which are legitimate for them, of course. But there's no question that when this teaching, sanctioned by the hierarchy, as it says, comes into sight, there is a kind of challenge that comes with it, because if you recognize it as the so-called real thing, you may be inclined to want to do something about that and take advantage of that. So he goes on now in the next paragraph. All, as you know, I am a second ray disciple, an initiate of a certain standing, the grade of which in no way concerns you, though many of you have personally and interiorly ascertained and who I am. That word ascertained means or suggests a definite knowledge. Yes, he speaks modestly, and may I say he's been known apparently for his modesty in cooperation with Masters M and Masters KH, M and KH. And note, he calls himself first a disciple. This tells us somehow that he is still very much learning. What is the one of the meanings of the word disciple? You know, it's, well, it was mostly, of course, given to male students, but it's, I think it's called a learning boy, something of that nature. Now, times have changed, and as Master Moria says, women are bringing in the new age, and we have only to look at the those who have served as amanuensis to the Tibetan, for instance, HBB and Alice Bailey, of course. And he's had connection with, as he described earlier, with some that we don't know anything about. Men and women, it makes no difference, just as long as they recognize the vibration and continue accordingly. So he's basically telling us, isn't he? And this is a master speaking, we found out later, but at the time he wrote this, no one would have known from the writing what grade he held, except for those who were astute enough to ascertain who he was. Now, I want to say that Madame Rurik, while respecting the sage Jwal Kool, and having that wonderful photo of him and two of his presumably close disciples, did not realize that this was the teacher with whom Alice Bailey was in contact, and that caused and is still causing no end of difficulty between the less understanding members of the Agni Yoga groups and those in the Master DK groups. Okay. So we see, don't we, that he's not into saying, I'm a master, you have to listen to me. No, that would be a kind of claim making and imposition, which he has so often written about as not an acceptable approach. Going on with Master DK, if the teaching which I have given you and the books which I have given to the world, and notice that, please, he's not just writing for a few people. He is writing for those in the world who can respond. So again, he says there, and the books which I have given to the world do not suffice to win your confidence and your attention, then knowing that I am an initiate of the third degree, may I say he starts out low, or a master, or a bodhisattva, or one of the Buddhas close to the throne of God, will in no way aid your comprehension and will only hinder your development. So let us say he is advancing the idea that the quality of the teaching and the content of the books should be sufficient, and that those who would claim they're listening to him because he has such a high rank would be missing the real reason why his work should be acknowledged or attended to. May I say, there are so many people who are responsive to authoritarians, regardless of what they say. It does seem to be a sixth-ray tendency, and we are living at a time when the sixth ray is still potent but is fading out. This is what's happening in the political field, in the religious field. Authoritatively, or let's say authoritative people, say something, and those who respond to authoritarians take it up almost immediately as what? Gospel, shall we say? And simply believe it without examining carefully. Now, Master DK is seeking to establish a mental focus, a sound mental focus in his students. And hopefully we will not be among those who say, because he's a master and said it, I believe it. It has to ring true to us in our, shall we say, intuition, for us really to accept and act accordingly. Okay. We go on with Master DK. For many lives, I have been close to the Master KH. And may we say, even from the time of Pythagoras, when an earlier incarnation of Master KH was Pythagoras. We don't know about occasions before that. They are not discussed. Of course, there is a possibility that even before that, Master DK could say, I have been close to Master KH. But let's say that some 2,500 or 600 years is plenty of time to justify this statement of having been close. Going on with the Master's words, in discussion with him, we have often wondered how we should aid in the inauguration upon Earth of those newer types of work which will be distinctive of the new age and yet would be close enough to the comprehension of the advanced aspirants, and may I say that would mean, of course, they had taken the first degree, going on then, and the world disciples, may I say, maybe having taken even the third degree, going on, so that their cooperation would be evoked and their intelligent help be forthcoming. Well, let's pause to realize that the masters themselves deliberate on the best methods to reach humanity. And apparently, it's not easy to find the best method for something that is being discussed here. Not too high, otherwise it would evade comprehension, and not too low, because then it would offer nothing really new and would not stimulate the developing type of human being who is ever more mentally focused and one day mentally polarized. So going on here with the text, what were the requirements for which we should look, and what should be the technique to be applied in the new age for raising the consciousness of men? Of course, you know, men and women, this is not a statement about let's just say the gender. It is reference to the idea that the human race is in a masculine incarnation at this time and must develop manus, to which the word men is related. So what are the or were the requirements for which we, that is Master KH and DK, should look, and how really to use a technique which would elevate human consciousness. And then, you know, in a little piece of history here, it looks like, we decided that four things must, first of all, distinguish the group work, which should be done, and should characterize the disciples to be chosen for training. So let's say that this tells us that when Master DK was looking for who to incorporate in this kind of new practice, he was looking for certain characteristics which were decided upon by him and by Master KH in a discussion. And what were these characteristics? Okay. Going on, he says, these were sensitivity, impersonality, psychic gifts, and mental polarization. Well, that seems somehow really important. Those four gifts. Let's ponder them. And as he's telling us elsewhere, you know, sensitivity doesn't mean being personally absorbed and thin-skinned, and impersonality doesn't mean being cold, and psychic gifts are not about being caught in all kinds of astral psychism. Mental polarization, well, that's a special case which emerges between the second and third initiation, and which has proven that the individual involved has overcome what for him are the temptations following the baptism. Now he does go on to say, I do not make mention of aspiration, of selflessness, or of the desire to serve. They are fundamentals and basic essentials. And where they do not exist, there is no use in proffering the type of assistance which we are seeking to give. So no matter how imperfect may have been the individuals chosen for this type of experimental work, they were, it seems, at least seems equipped with aspiration, with a sufficient degree of selflessness, not complete, of course. When we start looking for what selflessness can really be, we start looking in the direction of the Christ. And then, of course, the desire to serve, even though that desire may not be as fully understood as it should be. I think when we read in esoteric psychology of the law of service, we learn a lot of things about service which are different and in a way more demanding than we may have suspected. So reading up on the third law of the soul, the law of service, is, I think, for us very important. And let's just say that the people attracted to what he calls this ashramic work were equipped, at least in his estimation, to make good and to achieve together a kind of necessary unity. I am recalling also that one individual who was not yet a first degree initiate was called in on the basis of the master's gratitude, actually, for his very concentrated efforts to advance the publication and distribution of the Bailey books. So he probably did not possess in adequate measure these four qualities. But for his own protection, because, as I recall, he had flirted with or nearly succumbed to the tendency to enter the left-hand path in his previous incarnation. He was not a secondary soul. He was one of the two third-ray souls brought into the master's group. Okay, going on. DK says, you will note that as you look back over the spiritual history of the race of men during the past 2,000 years, which is far enough for our purpose. Now, I have to say that naturally DK's historical perspective extends much farther back than could be the case for us. And in his work with H.P. Blavatsky, he helps to reveal the millennia, the even millions of years that preceded this period, this important period of 2,000 years ago. So he says, yes, 2,000 years, parenthesis, which is enough for our purpose. And we are to note, and his text continues, that the following methods have been consecutively used to reach men's minds spiritually. So he's giving us, shall we say, a little lesson in history. Well, number one, the method of raising the consciousness of an individual so that he becomes a knower. Okay. He becomes a knower. Whoops, not the right one. Okay. He goes on, individual salvation and the emergence of outstanding individuals with spiritual sense, vision, and achievement to their credit has characterized the mystical history of the past. So we're still in this period of 2,000 years. And these individuals have had a spiritual sense, vision, achievement. They have achieved all that. Now, apparently he's talking about the mystical approach. Some of these people, well, maybe he's talking about more than that. Some of these people emerged along the way of the heart, the mystical way. He goes on to say, such were Sri Krishna, and may I pause to say that would have been the Christ emerging along the mystical path. Let's keep that in mind. So repeating here, such were Sri Krishna, Saint Francis of Assisi, and may I say some people have thought that he was an incarnation of Master K.H., but I think, given Master K.H.'s history and his very, very strong mentality, that likeness, that comparison, is not, in my view, accurate. Okay, so D.K. is saying, such were Sri Krishna, Saint Francis of Assisi, and all those knowers whose way was the way of love. And to these can be added Milarepa of Tibet. He's known as the great saint of Tibet, and he achieved mightily, and also Lao Tse of China. I want to say that there has been some speculation that Master D.K. Could be associated with Lao Tse in one of his earlier incarnations. Again, I cannot be sure when I say the following, but it doesn't seem to me that the quality, the scholarly quality of Master D.K. is the same as that of Lao Tse. And on this way of love, we go on to read, such also have been many of the saints of the church. And in the West, may I say, D.K. says, a peculiar kind of mystic has emerged in the West, very deeply mystical, and during the past 2,000 years. And then he says further, the Bhagavad Gita has been the book which has embodied this way superlatively. And let's say, isn't it interesting that among the books that Master DK said should be in the possession of his students, the Bhagavad Gita, was one, as well as the New Testament and the Yoga Sutras and the Shankara book, the crest jewel of discrimination, Viveka Kudamani, as it has been called. So here we're looking at the way of the heart. And I want to say it doesn't mean that these people have not developed the mind as well, but primarily the way of the heart has been their approach and a form of profound mystical development, and we might say very related to the planet Neptune. Just as we think of the of the Christ as Neptune, the first initiator. Neptune is so important at that point for the first two preliminary initiations. And then comes Sanat Kumara under a more Uranian impulse for the third, fourth, and fifth initiations. And then an unnamed initiate to initiate at the sixth degree, also presumably like Sanat Kumara, an emanation of the planetary logos. And finally, for the seventh degree, the planetary logos himself. So what we've looked at here is those who are on the way of the heart. And we're in a section of the book which deals with how a human being can become a knower. That will be very important for many in the Aquarian age. During the age of Pisces, we became believers, but more rarely knowers of divinity. Some have achieved that, of course, but so many were simply raised up under idealism and became believers. Now, going on with the text, others emerged along the way of the mind and were the intellectual knowers. And may I add, we can contrast them with those who knew through the heart and who were partially, at least, listed immediately above. DK goes on with the text. Theirs is the more strictly occult way, and it has become increasingly the way of our present day aspirants. May I say, aspirants who are more mentally focused than have been the aspirants of the past. When you think of those whom the Christ took under his wing as he was gathering an ashram at the time of all of the biblical narrative, they were not, it seemed, very much on the intellectual line. Now, interestingly enough, Mary Magdalene, from reading the Gospels in part, because many have been lost, attributed to her, the Gospels attributed to her, was on the intellectual line, with, of course, deep love for the master, and perhaps for her husband, Jesus. Well, that's a whole another story. So now DK is dealing with those who have emerged on the more occult way, strictly occult way, and how it's the way of the present time, with us entering into the Aquarian age with the constellation sign Aquarius transmitting the great fifth ray. The text goes on, the reason for this is that the polarization of the race is shifting ever more steadily onto the mental plane. Well, what shall we say? People are simply becoming more intelligent at this time and less given strictly and only to believing. All right. The intellectual knowers and the shifting onto the path of strict occultism. Now, true mental polarization, we do realize, is a high state and implies the taking of the second initiation. Mental focus, growing mental focus is another thing. And one can have an increasing mental focus without necessarily being mentally polarized in the sense of overcoming the temptations following the second degree. Now, DK is going to mention here some of the individuals who are on this more strictly occult line. Some of these individuals, he says, on the way of the mind were Shankaracharya and the Apostle Paul and Meister Eckhart. Well, about Shankaracharya, we might say that when you compare him with the Buddha's teaching, they are two halves of one whole, it has been said. And let's remember that Shankara's great book, Viveka Kudamani, was recommended reading by the Tibetan. Now, the Apostle Paul is presently the head of the fifth ray ashram, because he is monadically on the fifth ray and supermonadically on the first ray, from what I've been able to determine when thinking of him in relation to the logoic plane and sea of fire. And of course, the great German spiritual thinker, Meister Eckhart, who is oftentimes lumped together with many of the mystics and their writings, but he had something additional, and that was a powerful reasoning mind. So we want to, shall we say, we want to hold in our consciousness the contrast between these two methods, one of the heart and the other of the mind. And again, I would have to say that that does not mean that the ones who are pursuing the way of the mind do not have the heart. It's just a question of emphasis, isn't it? And you might think of yourself. And which way you might be following the path of revelation, the path by which consciousness is raised. Now, I would say that when we study with Master DK, it oftentimes seems to be a blend of the two. He has an extraordinary mind, and he encourages in every way the mental focus of his students. And yet also, his ashram, which will be one of the externalizing ashrams, initially carries the note of right human relations. And that does require, I think, a very strong love and heart focus. But anyway, the text goes on regarding this way of the mind as follows. Today, many are coming out along this way under the name of science. Okay, now we have to realize that the scientists are also potentially students of spirituality and revealers of spirituality, especially if their inventions and so forth go to the upliftment of the human race. So I'm going to just include that in the foregoing statement. And DK now adds to what he's saying about the two methods as follows. There were also those outstanding individuals, such as the Christ and the Buddha, who combined both ways in their perfection and who towered above their fellow men from the heights of their achievement. Well, I think we could say that DK, in all modesty, is recognizing the attainment of the two great present-day teachers. He goes on to say, they swayed hemispheres and centuries, whereas the lesser sons of God swayed countries, specific types of mind, and lesser periods of time. Okay, so we're talking about methods of raising the consciousness of the race, and how under point one, we're talking about the individual being raised to a great height. So far, the raising of groups and the methods whereby this is done are not yet discussed, but they will be. So the following methods have been consecutively used to reach men's minds spiritually. Now, I think, what I can do here, I've been kind of called away, page 44, to attend to some other necessities. So I'm just going to say that this program will be in the nature of about an hour. And let's see if I get it right. I think so. It's program 21. And we're beginning with part 5. And we're looking at the spiritual history of the race and how elevation proceeded. Okay, let's see if I, and then let's see, point 2 will be coming in. And how many such points are there? Point 1, point 2, and do we have a point 3? Well, it looks like, so far it looks, like point 1 and point 2 will be the main ways to proceed, and it will take a while. So, going back then, sorry for this, I oftentimes spare you this, you know, but this is, we'll begin program number 22, and we'll begin from page 44 and 45. And we'll see when we begin. I hope it's today. I had planned for it to be today, but looks like I've been called away to other things. So, the end of Dinah 1, Volume 1, Section 1, and the beginning of Part 5. Part 5. Okay. And this has given us just one page, but plenty to discuss, I would say. All right. That pretty much characterizes it. The emergence of great individuals along two different lines of approach has been our subject, and a call to us to recognize the line of approach which we find ourselves taking at this time. Now, you know, somewhere it tells us that the Christ has been the teacher of a great foregoing movement. And we can see that in another couple of thousand years or so, he is being prepared or preparing himself to relinquish his bodhisattvic position to his disciple, Master K.H. And I think it will be an opportunity to deal with more mentally focused disciples who have been prepared during the Aquarian Age. Okay, so friends, that's going to be it for this program. We wish you, all of us on the communications team, lots of love and many blessings, as usual, and deep studies, deep thought, and deeper meditation, and the ability somehow to apply what you learn helpfully for whomever you can reach. We'll see you before long now. Take care.